In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, here we are, Holy Week, the most intense week in the life of the church, and without a doubt, the busiest week of my year. But despite all of the craziness, it truly is my favorite week of the year, at least as a priest. I get to celebrate the most profound of mysteries, rich with tradition, history, meaning, and symbolism. The procession with palms, the foot washing, the stripping of the altar, the all-night watch in the garden, and the veneration of the cross on Good Friday. All of this to prepare for what, in my opinion, is the absolute most beautiful service of our whole year, the great vigil of Easter. But like I said, it's my favorite week as a priest. As a preacher, well, that's another story. Because as a preacher, I have the daunting responsibility to speak into these profound mysteries that honestly speak so well for themselves already. What is there to say now following the reading of the Passion? How can I expound upon this retelling of the culmination of the greatest act of love that the world has ever seen? So it is my sincere prayer that I can get out of the way enough to let the services and the readings this week speak for themselves while still being able to bring some insight in giving all of you something to aid you in your reflections. So one major point of reflection that we have today with both the triumphal entry and the reading of the Passion is this transition from one to the other, going from "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord" to "Crucify him." So who here has ever been disappointed? I mean, it's something that we've all experienced at some point in our lives, and it is never a pleasurable experience. And the degree to which it hurts is so often directly proportional to the level of our expectation of whatever it was. For a bit of a silly example, I have a friend who is a massive Star Wars fan. He has been a fan of the movies since childhood. He grew up reading all of the books that were a part of the expanded universe. He and I stood together in line for hours with a group of friends to get in to see The Phantom Menace, the first of the prequel trilogy, when we were just in high school. Well, with the release of the new trilogy, the final three, there's been a lot of excitement. We saw Episode 7 when it came out, and we enjoyed it pretty well. But when the most recent, The Last Jedi, came out, my friend was majorly disappointed. Not just disappointed, but angry. He hated what they did with some of the characters. He hated the plot. He just really hated the movie altogether. And it wasn't just that he wasted his couple of hours and his 12 bucks on a movie that he didn't particularly care for. He truly did feel like something was taken from him. This was the next to the last movie in a saga that has been a source of not just entertainment for him, but really of happiness and joy in his life that he felt just wasn't worthy. His expectations were so high that this subpar installment caused him actual distress. And this is over a movie. Now just imagine the expectations that so many of the Jewish people had placed on Jesus. They were expecting a king who was going to change the status of their whole people, to free them from the rule of an oppressive foreign government and rule over them with dignity and power not seen since the days of the great King David. And then it turns out, maybe this wasn't the case. These would be people who were not just disappointed, but angry, with the feeling that something has been taken away from them. Now, combine that with a mob mentality and the sinister machinations of those whose authority was challenged by this enigmatic Jesus fellow, and the violently abrupt shift begins to make a little bit more sense. And so the people needed a target at which to direct their anger and their disappointment. For Star Wars fans, it was directed towards the movie and the writers and the director. I see my friend tune into that mob mentality, which has been given sort of new life and frightening reach on the internet. When we discussed The Last Jedi, I argue that, it wasn't that bad, citing, pretty generally favorable critical reviews of people who may not be so emotionally attached to the franchise. And then he shoots back with the support of the mob by pointing out how terrible the mob score, the general audience score, is online. Legions of Star Wars diehards flooded review sites and just panned it left and right. The mob. And we just read in The Passion how the anger of the mob was directed at Jesus. They mocked him to his death as they watched him breathe his last breath, hung on a cross. So what do we do when we encounter disappointment in our lives? What do we do when life doesn't go as planned and there really is no one to blame? Things simply turned out that way. Where do we direct our anger and frustration when things just don't turn out how we expected? Unfortunately, people often turn that blame towards God. Because who else can you target in those kinds of situations? You take it out on the one who is supposed to be all-loving, all-knowing, and all-powerful. He could have done something about it, so why didn't he? Why did he allow my loved one to get sick? Or why did he allow that natural disaster to ruin my home or my livelihood? The thing is, though, God isn't here to help our lives go according to our plans. He is here to take the mess that we have made and to shape it and mold it into his grand divine plan. We have to put our lives in his hands, so when he sends us our salvation, we don't nail it to the cross because it wasn't what we expected. We have to trust that he knows what he's doing and constantly listen to what he is telling us. Crowds in Jerusalem were guilty of not trusting and not listening. Because of that, the Son of God, the spotless Lamb, died a gruesome and excruciating death. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.